I know the hour is late, and we're going to be mindful of that the best that we can. I want to say two things. One, I lied last year when I was testifying. I made a statement that I had the greatest shirt on that had ever been made for a preacher, and it was a Stafford, and I was rebuked, amen. And since then, I found I was wrong, amen. And you were right, Miss Raines. The greatest shirt ever for a preacher to wear is a gold label Dillard's. But I'm slightly shy on having enough of them, so I will be giving my size out, amen. Can we get this on the internet? And so thank God for his blessings on us. And then I want you to pray and sincerely pray about it. We're trying to, we are attempting to build the greatest Bible that has ever been built. Jean Blode, the greatest Bible printers in the world. They've been printing Bibles 175 years. We asked them the other day about what we've laid out. And I said, is it the greatest Bible in America today? He said, no, sir, this is the greatest Bible that has ever been built in the history of the world. He said, we've never met people as picky as you, and we've never met people that have such attention to detail. And I said, well, when I realized that one of the names on that cover was going to be mine, I got extremely picky about it. So pray about that, if you will. The Bible app for the Bible and the Bible app will come together. It's in the process of being fixed now. We're about $40,000 in to that. And so hopefully by the first quarter of next year, that Bible will be available. And the leather on it is astounding. They're saying if you read this Bible 3 hours a day, it would last for 75 years if you read it and worked with it and preached in it for 3 hours a day, 75 years. The greatest thing closest to that is an Allen, and they're at 31 years. And so this has been an undertaking. We're about 4 years into the process of building it, but we're coming near the end. So if you would pray about that, Smith & Jones Bible Publications, Brother Jonathan Smith is my partner. And he has the brains, and I work and supply the money. So anyway, he's a great friend of mine. And so pray for us that the Lord would help us. Our goal is to be able to hand a preacher boy a Bible and say, when you die, you can hand that to somebody else. And that's our goal. And we've already got other things in the works moving on after that, but pray that God would help us in that process. Leviticus chapter number 13 tonight. Leviticus chapter number 13. Leviticus 13 and verse number 44. Some of the saddest words that would ever fall on human ears would be these words. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and he shall cry, unclean, unclean. There was a day that me and you were lost. The Bible says without God and without hope in this world. We weren't just unclean. We were utterly unclean. He is utterly defiled. There's no hope, no help, and no way he could ever be any better. And for the rest of your life, your clothes will be rent, your head will be bare, and you'll have to wear a covering over your mouth and say unclean, unclean. Now go to chapter number 14. The chapter I'm about to read part of to you, from all the study that I've done, I've looked at it for years. I've never found a recorded place where this was ever used until weeks before Jesus died. Jesus healed 10 lepers and he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. Why? To be a testimony unto them. Never had there been a high priest door knocked on and said, hey, there's a man outside, there's a woman outside of town, and they are healed of leprosy. Never had it been done. But just weeks before Jesus hung on the cross, there at Caiaphas' house, there was a knock on the door and said, there's 9 men down on the outside of town, and they want you to come down and look them over. And they said they want you to know Jesus of Nazareth healed them. He gets back to the house. There's one more. He was a little late. He stopped for a worship service. 10 lepers representing the 10 commandments that had been broken. Utterly unclean. And Jesus healed them all. And just a week later, Caiaphas said, we've got to kill him. Knowing, Pilate said, he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Chapter 14 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. Thank God Jesus went out of the camp. Amen. The Bible said the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. The priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. I want you to notice he has pronounced that he thinks he is clean. Now he is saying he is to be cleansed. Are you with me? The Bible said, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and he shall pronounce. He's just pronounced clean. That's where we were when Jesus said, it is finished. We were pronounced clean. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm not a Greek scholar or a Greek major or a Greek anything, but they tell me that the language that is there, that it was a continual that Jesus may have said over and over from the time they started driving the nails. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as the angel stood on double guard duty, shaken, ready to move, the voice rang through heaven, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pronounced clean. The Bible said, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Now God, in this dealing with mankind, has begun to break down every drop of his personal identity and to rip out of him everything that identifies him as the man he once was. Can I tell you, you were born at enmity with God. You're an enemy against God. Every thought in your mind is against God Almighty. It's a wonderful thing when God of the universe begins to break you down and change your mind and bring you to a place of repentance so that you might be found faithful one day in the work of God. What a wonderful miracle that God would rip out of you everything about you. I heard a man preach the other day, and he said, I stand here today and I look at you young men preaching with zeal and with power and with youth and with knowledge. And he said, I look forward to the day that God takes and rips your zeal, and God rips your power, God rips your identity, God rips your knowledge, and then makes a preacher out of you that he can use for his glory, and that God would dig at the glory and not you when you preach the word of God. And here this man loses his identity so that he might be clean. The Bible said, and it shall be on the seventh day. He shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. He shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two he-lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb and of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log of oil. The priest shall make him clean. The priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean. And those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, the priest shall take one he-lamb and one and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. He shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own hand, left hand, and the priest shall dip his finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord, and the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot, and the blood upon the blood upon the blood of the trespass offering, and the remnant of that oil that is in the hand, the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest that maketh atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterwards he shall kill the burnt offering. The priest shall take or shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him. It's a long road from chapter 13, 44. And he shall be clean. Hallelujah. I believe you'd agree with me tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, that the greatest thing that God ever did for you was make you clean. There'll never be anything that you face that'll be superior to the fact that Jesus did when he saved you by his marvelous grace. I tell you tonight, of faith as a grain of mustard seed can move mountains, but it'll take a measure of faith to get you saved. Amen. The Bible said God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. I'm telling you, there is no job tougher than you getting saved. I want to look at some of these things tonight, but I want to preach on the log of oil. The log of oil. We see the picture first of the bird. The first bird is killed in an earthen vessel. Not on an earthen vessel, but in an earthen vessel. We see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not an earthen vessel, but he's in an earthen vessel. And he dies in an earthen vessel. He became flesh for me. The Bible said he became like unto sinful flesh. He was not sinful flesh, but he became like sinful flesh, and Jesus died in an earthen vessel. Bible said over running water. The Word of God moved by the Spirit of God. Did you ever think about all the things Jesus did according to the Scriptures? He was born according to the Scriptures, conceived according to the Scriptures. He was born where? According to the Scriptures. He was circumcised according to the Scriptures. His mother offered her sacrifices according to the Scriptures. Everything Jesus done was according to the Scriptures. It dawned on me several years ago that when Jesus was hanging on the cross and his clothes was on the ground, and they began to gamble over his clothes, and they got that one that had no rent from top to bottom. The Bible said that it didn't have any tear in it. It didn't come apart because God had said they would gamble over it. Jesus bought his clothes according to the scriptures. When the day he purchased his clothes, he said, I'm going to have to buy one today, boys, that don't button from the top to the bottom. Why? Because one day they're going to gamble over it according to the scriptures. Jesus died according to the scriptures. When the word of God was fulfilled, he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He was the bird. He was the water. He was the force that forced the water. He was the earthen vessel. He was the priest, thank God. He fulfilled everything that was needful. I see the picture, the first bird. I see the personal part of this scripture. I see the connection with these two birds. I see the conscience or the conscience of being available and in touch with these two birds. I want you to notice this first bird was killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And then this second bird was taken and cedar wood and scarlet. And they say that they would take this second live bird and they would tie it to the cedar like a paintbrush, and they would dip it down into that blood and bring it out. And when they would, they let its tail feathers flap and its wings flap over top of that leper, and then they'd dip it again, and seven times they'd dip it, and seven times they'd let it flutter over that man that was to be cleaned. And Jesus was the dead bird, but Jesus was the live bird. It was his blood. It was his cross. It was his scarlet thread. We see personally, he must be connected to the birds. He must become conscious of the wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop. He must be covered by the blood. We see the person. He's to change his clothes, the Bible said. His rent clothes are gone. He now wears clothes that don't look like they used to look. He gets rid of the mouth cloth that was over his mouth. He no longer has to say unclean, unclean. He quits identifying with the world and the lost, putrid people that were around him, and begins to identify with the children of God. For the first time, he's a testimony. For the first time, he's allowed into the congregation. For the first time, he's allowed to worship on the outside of the temple. For the first time, he's allowed to be a part of the glorious family of God. Then we come to the log of oil. The log of oil. Now, according to everything I can find, that's 0.96 of a pint. So when I bought this, it was 17 ounces. Now, this is all going to be important later on. It's going to be important later on. When I bought this, it was 17 ounces, 1 ounce over. But to make sure that that you could see, I took 2 ounces out. So this is slightly less than a log of oil. Can I say something to you about that log of oil? It represents the Spirit of God. It represents the Holy Spirit. I don't believe there's a Bible student in the house tonight that wouldn't say the oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. We see its power. We see that the blood is applied to this man, but we see it's sealed by the oil. Where the blood had gone, the oil followed. Where the blood had been sprinkled, the oil is sprinkled. Where the blood had touched, the oil touched. It seals the purification for the offering. It sanctifies the person from others. It satisfies the placement of the offender. Once the oil was on him, he was free to go. I'm not praying for the Holy Spirit. I'm not hoping for the Holy Spirit. I don't hope to someday get him. I don't hope to someday get a better jar of him, amen. I've got all that I'm going to get. All I've got to do is enjoy the placement of the oil in my life. We see its power. We see its position. We see the words of its position. It's a log of oil. It's the only time it's ever used in the entire Bible. Only time the word log is used in the entire Bible. Only time the word log of oil is used in the whole Bible. Only time this measurement is used in the whole Bible. 0.96 of a pint. There's only one Spirit of God. There's not two. My Bible said the Spirit of God leads you into all truth. I want to know why, if you're saved today, why you aren't being led into more truth. How come you can claim God's leading you and you're going into error? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You may not get all the way out of your stupidity of the denomination you're in, but if you get saved by the grace of God, you'll be coming out when you die. Amen. There's only one Spirit of God. He seals, He sanctifies, He secures, He satisfies, He supplies. You know all that thing. I want you to see the pouring of this log of oil. Here's what the Bible said. Here's what the Bible said. Now, I'm going to come down, Pastor, and you witness this if this isn't true. All right, you're going to be here. Now, I don't know how big the priest was, and I'm not a big man. But the Bible said he would pour it into his left hand. That's pretty much a palmful, ain't it, preacher? All right. Here's what the Bible said. He would pour it into his left hand. Then he would sprinkle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then the Bible said he would put it on his right ear, put it on his right thumb, put it on his right big toe, and then pour the rest of it on his head. All right? There we are. Now we see in the scriptures the picture that is painted here. We see in its pouring that is from the measure of providence. God has given us the Spirit of God according to His measure. Can I say every leper receives the same measure? Can I say every leper enjoys the same anointing? We see the hand of providence. We see the measure of providence. We see the hand from the measure of providence to the hand of the high priest, to the finger of the holy person, and all to the person that is waiting. Has anybody got a napkin? I'm going to have a hard time keeping that off my Bible. Amen. That'll work right there, preacher. Then I want you to see the provision. I want you to see the provision. What is like the Holy Spirit? What would you like Him unto? What would you draw this picture out of? God draws it out of a picture of this log of oil. He's a comforter according to John chapter number 14. You don't need me to go there. He's a commissioner according to Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. He's a communicator according to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26. He's a courage according to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is our courage. He's a spirit of charity and of love, according to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Is there any doubt about His work in our lives? Is there any question that He does everything that He was sent to do? Is there any shadow of a doubt that it's not enough? Christ, the Bible said, He's not only the comforter and all of these things, but God said that He's the Spirit of Christ. So if you can just decide what Christ is, you can figure out what you've got on your ear, hand, toe, and head. The Bible said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not of His. He's still shouting unclean. He's still out with the utterly defiled. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our supply. Christ is our satisfier. Boy, ain't that a wonderful blessing. That doesn't mean so much when you're 15 and 16 and you think you've got the world by the tail. But I'm going to tell you what, when you're down in the dumps and don't figure out how it's going to come out, you figure out God's your supplier. Thank God. What a blessing. God is our supplier. He's our healer. our helper, our holiness, all the holiness that I have is in Him. He's our friend, Father, foundation, fountain. Oh, yes, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 7 or 9, I think it's verse number 9, the Bible said, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. The Spirit of God, according to Brother Larry Raines, who's an authority on the subject, he's the Spirit of God, so there should be no devil. He's the Spirit of adoption, so there should be no doubt. He's the Spirit of holiness, so there should be no defilement. He's the Spirit of the Lord, so there should be no deficiency. He's the Spirit of life, so there should be no death. He's the Spirit of light, so there should be no darkness. He's the Spirit of comfort, so there should be no discouragement. He's the Spirit of freedom, so there should be no debt. That's what you got when you got saved. Would you agree with me that there's no greater task or no greater burden that you'll ever face than getting saved by the grace of God? Would you say that's right, Brother? Is all of these things I've said tonight true? Is that true? Then there's something that we've got to look at. That palmful done all of that. But when he left, he said, hey, son, you didn't use all your oil. You come in here with a log. We waved it before the Lord. Yeah, everything you'll ever need was fulfilled in those three touches and that one anointing. But look what you got left. Will there ever be any more defilement in your life? I took a palmful out, but I want you to take home the rest of a log of oil. Will there ever be any more debt? Will there ever be any more discouragement? Will there ever be any more disease? Will there ever be any more doubt? If there is, I don't have a handful. I got a whole pint full. I've still got what I need to make it all the way down through the journey. Hey, child of God, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. But he didn't come on him. He's not surprised tonight. He filled your tank before you left the tabernacle. You've got all the oil you need to run it all the way to the house. Heads bowed all over the building. Preacher, I've tried to be mindful of the time. How about it tonight? Has the devil beat you up, got you down, as you're going through things you don't understand, would you like to make your way to the altar tonight and say, God, thank you that there's still enough left. Still enough left. Hey, listen to me tonight. Everybody's been discouraged. Everybody's had times of defilement. Everybody's had times of doubt. But I'm going to tell you, if God could save you, and seal you, and sanctify you, and separate you with a palmful, then what can he do with a whole log? I was talking to a dear friend of mine on a creek bank about 2 years ago, and we was talking about the lepers. He said, well, you're preaching tomorrow night. I said, I'm preaching over there where the Bible said that if you're too poor to have a lamb, you can bring two turtle doves. And I said, here's what I'm preaching on. You want to be a turtle dove poor Christian, or you want to bring a whole lamb? And he said, won't you preach on that log of oil? I said, help me with it. He said, it's a whole pint. We went down through the scripture. I said, hold the phone. I'll be back later. I believe the Lord gave it to me. I called him back, and I said, what do you got on the log of oil? He said, nothing. I said, hope you got something on it. I said, well, hold your boat, amen. I'm fixing to fill it for you. We're going to go through a lot of things. There's times we're going to be so confused, we don't know what to do. Everybody's been there, if they're honest. But God has everything you need. You don't have to be ashamed to come back and say, Lord, what about that log of oil I've got left? Could I have some more? The Bible said he waved it before the Lord. It was all accepted. It was all the same picture. God didn't leave you without enough to get you through. Several years ago, I was preaching out of the text where the Samaritan brought that man to the inn. And here's what he said. He said, if he goes over what I've paid. You know, there's times I feel like I'm just a little over. Lord, he said, I get back, I'll pay up. He gave him 2 pence for 2 days. We're just a little bit over 2 days. But he's coming back and he's going to settle the bills. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Father, I've tried tonight to do your will. I pray, Lord, that people are helped not just for tonight, but Lord, in the darkness of their hours, they would hear the rattle of the jar and know that God's got sufficiency for them. We'll thank you for what you do and give you the praise. You alone are worthy of all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.